Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. In this episode, I speak with Inner Circle member Kelsey. It was a wonderful conversation. I think you're going to take a lot from it. And briefly, Kelsey does not struggle with her workouts. She really likes strength training. She enjoys it. She's super good at it. You'll hear she's wicked strong. But she does struggle with her nutrition and specifically her consistency with her nutrition. So throughout this episode in the conversation, we sort of do like an entire episode on how to build your own plan. So if you struggle with consistency and you know what you need to do, but you struggle with actually doing it and putting it together, I think this episode is going to help you a lot. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review. And remember, if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that at www.sfinnercircle.com or at the link in the show notes. Now, let's get into the episode.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How's everything going?
It's good. It's crazy busy. I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hopefully busy in a good way.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure if you saw my my recent email I had sent to Kat about like what's going on.
I did. I reviewed all of it. So before we dive into that, This is our first time talking. I just want to chat. So I did read everything, but just go over, tell me everything about you, who you are, where you're from, what you do, because you have a very interesting past, and I just want to hear it from you, and I think it'll be really nice to have this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am actually, my name is Kelsey Burak. My profession, I'm actually a pastry chef. I'm starting my own business. I live down in Augusta, Georgia, originally from Long Island. So I lived up in New York until I was about 12, and my parents, we're in the medical field. My dad is retired FDNY. And they were like, after 9/11, my sister was born in 2003, 2004. And they were like, okay, we're sick of New York. Let's get out of here. So they moved us down south. And we've been here ever since. I went away to college and I went up to DC for a little while. I kind of found my footing in my career in DC. And then in 2019, I was like, I'm done with the city life. I want to go back south for a little while and figure out how to start my own business. So in early 2019, I moved back home to Augusta.
Amazing. And do you like it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I ended up meeting my current boyfriend and we're getting ready to buy a house and we're trying to list our house and
that's exciting.
You know, just building our life together, and he's helping me build a food trailer. So it's just craziness and one thing after another, but that's, you know, the blessings of life, right?
And is he a chef as well, or is completely different?
No, totally different. He's actually a chief in the Navy.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's been in the Navy for 12 years now, going on 13. And you know, he's just totally opposite end of the spectrum. But I think that kind of helps our relationship. We kind of pair well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, like, one thing, when I was younger, I used to think that in order for a relationship to work, I always just thought like similar interests. Mm-hmm. And I don't think having similar interests is bad, but that's not what I've found to be the foundation of a good connection or relationship. I found oftentimes differing interests is really helpful, but similar morals and ethics and values. Like, absolutely. As long as you have like the same foundational morals, ethics, values, then the rest will sort of play itself out. But I know when I was younger, I used to make the mistake of just like trying to look for people who has the same interests as me. And that mm-hmm. actually led to a lot of friction. So I think that's oftentimes what people mean when they say like opposites attract. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. they're opposite in what they believe. It's just oftentimes they're opposite in what they do.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I found. You know, we both enjoy spending time together, you know, mountain biking and hiking, and we've got two dogs, and we're very active and we love nature and travel and all of that kind of thing. But as far as our professions and how we approach daily life, it is very different. But I, again, just like you said, I think that kind of helps us have two different perspectives and then come together and find compromise and find a middle ground.
I love that. I love that. So I want to give you the floor, and I know you wrote it all out in the email. I'm going to make you say it all again, but just
okay.
Tell me everything that's going on, like from start to finish. And then if there's anything I can help with, I'm more than happy to chat about it.
Yeah. So basically, since I moved back down, I was living in DC And 2016 to 2019, I really like started my career as a pastry chef. And in the restaurant industry, in the restaurant that I was in, it's just like 12 to 18 hour days. I remember February of 2017, I worked every single day of February 2017 because I was short staffed at the restaurant. And it's just like not a lifestyle at all. There's no, don't get me wrong, I'm all about working hard and getting, you know, the job done, but restaurant life was crazy. So my only like happiness, the only thing that I was able to find calm and was able to control was my health and fitness. So I really dove into figuring out what would work. And I don't even want to like think about how much money I wasted on various, you know, just crap out there. But I finally figured out that like calorie deficit, I didn't know it was calorie deficit at the time. I was attempting this like fake keto thing. It was just stupid.
What was it like?
I mean, I was just like, I loved, like, I was like, okay, I'm eating egg whites and bacon. Like, this is great. And then going to the restaurant, I was again working 12 to 15 hours. So I brought all of my meals with me to the restaurant. So I had 3 meals a day prepped out. Breakfast, I was eating like a protein shake in the morning and then egg whites and bacon. Lunch was like a chicken breast with a bunch of vegetables. And then dinner was ground bison and like spaghetti squash and some other stuff. And it was really good. It was really filling. And I was eating like 1600 calories, I think. And I did that and I lost a ton of weight. I mean, I was at my best weight that I've been as an adult. I dropped down to about 169, I think was the best that I had got, like the lowest that I had gotten to. But again, that's because every other aspect of my life was just miserable. Like I was in a dead end relationship. I hated my job. I hated living in the city. And going to the gym, like I would get out of work at 10 p.m. and I would go to the gym and work out for an hour, hour and a half at night. And that was it. That was what my focus was after work. And it was a good time. Don't get me wrong. Like I enjoyed seeing the results and that's what kept me going and kept me motivated. But I moved back down to Augusta and things just totally just 100, you know, 180. And I was happy and everything else. I had a great job. I was on a Food Network show, like all of these amazing opportunities were happening. And there was no more need to focus on or like to dive into an escape from life because I was happy in my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I kind of let my fitness go to the wayside and I never like stopped going, like, you know, working out or going to the gym. I've always loved weightlifting. I've loved getting strong. And I think I'm stronger now than I ever have been. I hit 315 on deadlift and squat last month.
Wow. Let's go. Yeah. That is no joke.
Yeah. So I'm super, super happy with the PRs that I've been hitting and like bench press. I've never focused much on bench press until I got your programs. And I think I was doing the April 2020, the 2020 program, and like bench was like a big one in there. And I, yeah. So I was doing like I think 145 or 150
Holy
was like my PR.
That is incredible.
Yeah. So I'm like, I love lifting weights. I love being able to lift strong, like to be strong. Cause I know in the long term that'll just keep me healthier. But it's always just been the weight for me. I feel like I love food.
Yeah, it makes total sense. It makes total sense.
So I know that you say, you know, the classic thing is keep it out of the house. And we really are good. Joe and I, like Joe is very firm about me not bringing sweets home because that's what I do on a daily is just I make cakes and lemon bars and all of the different types of desserts that you can think of. So we try to keep those out of our house. But I work around it all the time, every day. So not that I eat it all the time, every day, but it's, you know, even just having fun dinners, we had steak for my grandmother's birthday. And of course, that's an okay time to enjoy a good meal. But on the regular, it's just, I think, I know for myself, the only way that I can, like my bright lines, I know that I have to meal prep. And that's what, like where I will find my success is just by staying regimented with meal prep, I think.
Makes total sense. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go back, and I just like to, I always like to just clarify from the very beginning. Do me a favor and tell me, what is your main goal? So like, let's say like, what is your main goal? And then what would have to happen by the end of this call for you to look back and say like, okay, I'm really glad I had that call. Like that was very much worth it.
Mm-hmm. So my main goal is definitely to lose weight. I am currently sitting around 215. That's always been like my higher end. I've never really gone above that.
Okay.
And I think I carry it well. Like I'm not overly self-conscious, but I am uncomfortable.
Okay. That's a good clarification.
Yeah. Like I know I'm strong. I know that I'm strong. I'm able to do things where Joe and I are about to move to a 80-acre farm in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah. We're super excited. And it's, but like, I know that I'll be able to,
I might rent out space if that's a possibility.
Absolutely. We have plenty of bedrooms and we've got 3 acres set aside for you.
That is awesome.
No, but you know, I know that I can do things around the land to help and all of that kind of thing. I've always been that way. But I, you know, we're going to be getting married soon and all of that. And I would love to just be more comfortable in my own skin. And just at the end of the day, I don't care about the number. I just want to feel sexy naked, literally.
I love that. Yeah, that's it. I love that. Perfect. So that's the goal. So, yep. And I always like to ask that just because even if it's like, you might know it in your head, it's something else to voice it. So I like that. And I think you did literally most people are going to be like, yeah, I just want to look sexy naked. So that's perfect. What would have to happen by the end of this call for you to be like, okay, like I feel really good about that?
I think by the end of the call, if we could figure out like my bright lines and how to keep me focused on a plan, if that makes any sense. I get so tied up with the day to day and with my business and building my business and my personal life. And I know that that's maybe too general of an answer. I don't know.
No,
tell me
no,
if I'm wrong.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Yeah. I think just bright lines and figuring out, it's so overwhelming. Sometimes you get so caught up in, you can have a plan and you can like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden life just keeps punching you in the face with different things. And it's just like, it definitely, I think my health and fitness and my, you know, meal prepping and getting to the gym, all of that is the first thing to go when I have other responsibilities.
Makes total sense. Yeah. And I'm like nodding my head in agreement. I'm like, yep, I know exactly how that feels. Yeah, I get it. Like life just keeps on punching you in the nose. It's like, what the hell? Yep. And it's not even like it's not necessarily like dropping you. It's not like a knockout punch, but it's just like it hurts. It's like your eyes are watering. It's like, God, now I can't even see straight. What's going on?
Exactly.
So it sounds like you want a more solidified plan. Like what exactly are you going to do every day?
Exactly.
That way, like, you know, okay, here's the plan. It's sort of like a recipe. Like you want your own recipe.
Exactly.
Right. Like you have a lot of the ingredients, but you don't necessarily know in what order to put them together or how to cook them to get like, I'm trying to use these pastry references here, but I don't know pastry stuff, but like, I always try and like use an analogy that might be good for the person I'm speaking to. It's like, you have all the ingredients, but we need their actual recipe.
Exactly. And I've been in the inner circle since, I think I joined right before COVID or right before COVID got crazy. So I've been with you for about just over a year now. And I have, you know, applied the consistency calendar and I have applied, I was doing Unicorn Strong. I didn't finish the 90 days, I'll be honest.
So
those kinds of things. Yeah. And I did the, April 2020, that's the only one that I got through. I tracked that in March. I chose that workout, you know, set, I'm sorry, it was May. It's just I do know that it comes down to consistency. I know that. I know that I'm not consistent enough. And if I stick with it, I know that I'll see the results because I've done it before. I just need to make it a priority again.
Makes total sense. And just to clarify, it's not the workouts, it's the nutrition is really where the consistency you struggle with.
Yeah, on the average, I my NEAT and everything, I get a minimum of like 8,000 steps a day, just because of I'm very active and I'm like running around all the time. Typically, it's upwards of 12,000, and then I try to do the gym 3 times a week.
I mean, yeah. Okay. So workouts are good. Activity is good. It sounds like you need help with consistency with nutrition. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So let me ask you this. If you had to pick one area of your nutrition that you do really well and one area of your nutrition that you know you can improve, what would those be? What's one that you think you do very well with and one that you think you can improve with?
Do you mean like mealtimes?
I mean, literally anything related to nutrition. It could be meal timing, it could be food quality, it could literally anything in relation to nutrition. One thing that you think you do well, and then
Okay.
also one thing you think you can improve.
So when I am like on plan, I kind of get to cheat because I'm a chef. I get to make amazing food all the time. I love all food. I will literally sit there and eat a cantaloupe. Like I just love all food. So I definitely think food qu like quality is n a no-brainer. I love chicken. I love bison. Like all over the map. I think where I falter and my like, it's just there are days where I'll have breakfast and then I just won't eat again until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and that's not all the time. Some days I just can't stop eating because I mean it's just like it's retarded. It's like one end of the spectrum or another, you know?
Got it. Okay. So it's the lack of a plan. It's like some days like you spend a large amount of time without eating, and then does that lead to eating a lot later on when you get home, like eating way too much?
Yeah, I'll usually sit down and it's like, okay, well, I didn't eat all day, or I only had breakfast, or I only had a protein shake this morning. So I'm going to have dinner and I'm also going to have dessert. And not saying that dessert's bad, but it's just like I definitely think over the course of as far as my daily calories and then my weekly calories are concerned, I'm probably overdoing it in that hour or 2 hour period before bed.
Okay, that's really good to know. So it's that hour or two before bed where maybe you're super, super hungry, you didn't eat very much that day, then you end up eating more than you would have if you had just had a like
Had
10%
normal
calorie
meals.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's realistically possible given your and I don't know the answer to this, so I just need a legitimately realistic answer from you. Do you think it's possible realistically to eat throughout the day? With your given schedule, do you think that's a possibility? Is there a way for you to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I really do pretty much make my own schedule now. And when I was working in DC, I actually set alarms to remind myself to eat.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah, because I would forget. You get into the busy dinners, the dinner rush or post, pre-dinner rush, whatever you're prepping. So I would have an alarm set on my watch for like 3 o'clock. Okay, like have your snack, and then 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock, whatever it was, have your dinner, and that was really useful.
Okay. Do you think that's something that would work well for you again?
Yeah, I probably need to get back into that.
I love that because this for me is again like we're looking for the recipe. We've already got the ingredients. This is like the this seems like part of the recipe that maybe we just forgot, right? It's like or that we I don't know. Like I'm not a chef by any means, but my mind goes to, I don't know, you bake a pie, but once the pie's out of the oven, you don't just cut it open right away. You have to let it sit for a while. You have to let it cool, right? It's like, but sometimes you're so hungry and the pie smells so good, you're like, I'm not gonna let it sit. I'm just gonna eat it right away. So you don't do what you know you should do. Now I'm thinking like this is one of those things that it's worked for you in the past. So let's try it again. But let's out right now outline a little bit more specifically. And if you have a pen and paper with you so you can remember this, amazing. Let's outline the exact times that you're going to have an alarm and figure out is it going to be a snack? Is it going to be a meal? And get a little bit more specific with it.
Sounds great.
So wake up around what time?
It's kind of all over the map, but typically, like Joe's out the door by 5 o'clock in the morning, so
Wow. Okay.
I'm usually
Jeez.
up between 5 and 6. Sometimes it's later if I'm just like utterly exhausted or if I had to be at the bakery late. So I would say like 6 or 7 a.m.
Okay, perfect. And do you like having breakfast or no?
I love breakfast. I could eat breakfast all day.
Okay, so you like to wake up and within an hour or so of waking up, you like eating breakfast?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. So we're going to plan breakfast. In what general time frame would you like to have breakfast?
I would say 6 to 7 is probably best.
Cool. Let's write that down. You have a pen and paper?
Yep, I've taken notes since the beginning.
I love it. All right, perfect. So 6 to 7-ish breakfast. We'll go back and we'll talk about what might be good ideas or options to have at these meals. But for now, I just think having the schedule, the actual recipe to follow in terms of schedule is going to be super important. So,
yeah.
So do you find yourself getting hungry between breakfast? Like, where do you find yourself getting hungrier between like breakfast and lunch? Like what time frame?
So my classic breakfast, it's pretty filling. So I will, which I probably need to change. But
or not, or not.
Or, yeah. Probably around like between 11 and 2 is when I get hungry again, I would say.
Okay. So would you like to schedule a meal in that time frame or a snack? Like, would you like to have some type of eating in that time frame?
Yeah, I feel like, because that's usually right before I go to the gym too. We try and get to the gym before like the 5 p.m. rush.
Smart. I love that.
So I usually will have, it'll either be like lunch or it'll be a pre-gym workout snack.
I love that. So how do you feel about like an 11 to, in the time frame of 11 to 12, you're going to eat something?
Yeah, totally. That can work.
Perfect. So time frame of 11 to 12. I like these ranges. Like I don't like saying it has to be at or 11 or it has to be at 6. I like these ranges, but I also like not letting the range be somewhere between 11 and 2. It's a little bit too much of a range. So I do like to have some restriction in there because if it's between 11 and 2, there's a lot of possibility for things not to go right. But if it's a little bit more strict with that an hour time frame, which should be fine, you're more likely to really pay attention to it, be like, all right, I need to get this in within this hour.
Yeah, I agree. And I would say, I feel like it might be easier, or maybe it's just because I'm not a big lunch person, two snacks during the day instead. Is that
like I love that. I was literally just going to talk about possibly having like a small snack before you work out and then a small snack after you work out. And if you don't work out, either just having a bigger meal or again, having a small snack maybe around 11 and another small snack somewhere around 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Because I usually, if I do eat something and it's stupid to consider it a meal, but like those little tuna packs, like the prepared tuna packs,
yeah,
just because I'm either out and about delivering cakes or whatever, they're like 230 calories or like, I think they're even like 190 or something. And that's probably considered a snack and it's good protein and whatever. So.
That's great for both pre and post workout. If you wanted to do that, for me before a workout, I like to have something light. I don't like to fill up too much before workout, but I do like to have some protein and carbs. And usually the carbs will be some type of a fruit, or like if I'm in a rush and like I don't want to like have a piece of fruit, I'll just take a slice of bread or something. But usually it'll be like a protein shake with a banana or a protein shake with an apple or like some type of Greek yogurt or cottage cheese or some tuna, just a light snack, just a couple hundred calories with some fruit. And I found that also it does tend to hold you over as well.
Exactly. I'm glad you said banana. I love bananas.
Oh. Bananas are amazing. I've recently seen, and not even just recently, in the last like 10 years, there's always people who are like, you can't have bananas because they're too high calorie. I'm like, shut up. Who got that from a banana?
Unfortunately, so my boyfriend Joe, he's one of those, and it makes me so sad.
Joe, oh man. All right, we're going to have a real talk with Joe and have a serious thank you for your service, Joe. Thank you. Seriously, thank you for your service. Huge supporter of all like armed services. But no one got fat from eating a banana. We gotta make that very clear.
Yeah. So snack two, We said 11 to 12 for first snack, and then snack two would be like 3-ish after the workout or whatever.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that.
3 to 4. Okay. And that could be like protein again, or just like whatever, the tuna thing.
Yeah, whether it's tuna, cottage cheese, Greek yogurt, protein shake, any of those would be great. And one thing that's also worth discussing is, do you know how much protein is in, let's say you have the tuna pre-workout, do you know how much protein is in there?
I think it's like 19 grams.
Okay. All right. I would like, if it's only 19 grams, then definitely try and have it both before and after the workout. If you have a little bit more, if you have about 25 grams or so of protein, that's enough to get the benefit of protein pre and post workout. Because what a lot of people don't realize is like, oh, you need it pre and post. And yes, eventually you're going to need protein as well later. But if you're, this is all within a couple of hour period, right? This isn't over the course of 10 hours. This is over the course of a couple hours. And the protein, especially if you have it with some type of a fruit or something else, it's going to be slower digesting. So you're still going to be getting a stream of amino acids during and after the workout if you eat the protein beforehand. So it's not like you need to rush to get more protein in, because you're still going to be getting those amino acids even during and after that workout. If it's less than 20 grams, I would say have it both pre and post. But if you get a little bit more pre, then like you can have a post-workout meal of whatever you'd like.
Okay, cool. Got it. So like, and you, if I have a protein shake, I usually have one in the morning, but if I have one again before my workout, that has, I think, like 21 grams of protein. Perfect. Or something. So yep. Yeah,
that's totally fine.
Okay, cool.
Totally fine. So good. So we have breakfast between 6 to 7, then we have a snack somewhere between 11 to 12, and then another snack post-workout, probably somewhere between 2 to 3.
Yep.
I love this. This is coming together great. So when do you think would be the next best time to eat?
So dinner, just because Joe's an old man and goes to sleep at like 9 p.m.
And he doesn't wake up. He's out of the door by 5, so I respect that.
he's good. I'm just breaking his chops. He goes to bed at 9, so we try to eat like no later than 8, absolutely. So usually dinner is between like 6, as early as 6:30, between like 6 and 7.
Okay. So if you're eating that second snack between 2 to 3, you think that's plenty to hold you over until dinner?
Yeah. I usually don't have an issue, especially after like a workout. I'm usually not super hungry because like I'll have my pre-workout, and then I drink. I know that you're gonna hate this, but I drink collagen and greens during the day.
I don't hate it. I don't. And I've. It's funny. Someone recently asked. They were like, "Why do you?" People always ask, why do you hate greens? And I always say, like, I don't hate greens. I just think that they're a waste of money, which is just, it's my personal opinion. And then someone was like, cause I'm a big supporter of Legion Athletics. Like I love Legion, and I'm a good friend with Mike, the owner. And I just love the quality of the products. And they're like, well, what do you think about the fact that they sell greens? And I'm like, I would tell Mike to his face that I personally think it's stupid and I'm not going to take them, but who am I to say that you shouldn't have greens if you want and like greens? Like, I don't care. For me, it's just the issues I have with people who are like, oh, I'm taking greens because they replace my need to eat vegetables. I'm like, well, that's stupid. Bullshit. That's ridiculous. But if you like them and if they make you feel better, great. And also about collagen, I get a lot of women asking me like, should I be taking collagen? I'm like, listen, from a protein perspective in relation to like muscle growth and improving strength in the gym, it's the science isn't there to support it. But they're like, well, what about hair and nails and skin? I'm like, I don't know anything about that. Yeah. That is not my specialty at all. So if it's for hair and nails and skin or whatever, and like I know a lot of dermatologists recommend it, I know nothing about that. I have not ever once looked into the research of hair, skin, and nails ever. So there's that has to be like a lot of women are like, well, oh, I heard about this for hair, skin, and nails. I'm like, have you ever taken advice from my page about hair, skin, and nails? If you have, like, you're on the wrong page. So I don't hate it at all that you drink those, as long as you enjoy it and you don't think that it's a necessity.
No, I'll go without it here and there. If I don't have it, I'm not like rushing to get it or anything like that. But I have, just from a personal like standpoint, I have seen like my skin has gotten a lot better and I haven't been sick in over a year, like even just like a cold or anything like that. And I don't know if it's just a placebo or what, but I like to think that that helps. So, and Amazing. It's funny because I drink plenty, I eat plenty of vegetables. I drink tons of water. And it probably is just a placebo at this point, but I, again, I just, it just comes down to enjoyment too.
That's perfect. And that to me is, it makes it worth it for you.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of people are like, well, that's just placebo. That's just placebo. I'm like, if I gave you a pill that was a water pill and told you this pill was going to cure your back pain, and then all of a sudden you didn't have back pain, it's like, cool, then that pill was worth it. Even if that bottle of pills costs you $60 a month and it's just a water pill, but you believe that it's curing your back pain and it actually, and you no longer have back pain, cool, then the placebo pill was worth it. That's all I care about. But this with foam rolling all the time, there's a huge debate over foam rolling and whether it's worth it or not and does it work. And from there's a lot of people like, well, it's just a placebo. It's just a placebo. I'm like, listen, if rolling on a foam roller for 5 minutes before you work out eliminates or reduces your pain, whether it's a placebo or not, then cool. Like get on the fucking foam roller and roll around for a few minutes. Like if that makes you feel better, go for it. It's not like exactly. You're doing heroin. It's fine.
Snorting greens over here. Yeah,
exactly. So that was very off track, but so you you have the collagen and the greens and you're good?
Yeah. So between breakfast and then the two snacks, that drink usually fills me up. And then again, I have my pre-workout dinner between 7 and 8. That's totally doable.
Perfect. Okay. So we have dinner and then – correct me if I'm wrong, this is where things tend to go awry?
Yes and no. Yeah, it's kind of snacking. I'm very much the person where it's like, okay, we just had dinner. Now it's time for something sweet. And that's just ingrained in me with being a pastry chef. I'm just all about ice cream and all of the desserts.
All right. So let's figure out how we can do this. What do you think is a good – because there's nothing wrong with having something sweet. Now I just got to figure out terms of are you tracking your calories?
Yes. So I learned about calories and tracking and all of that back in DC in like 2017, 18, probably. I think I have learned the most from you in the last year as far as like the importance of what a calorie is and that like there are no bad foods and you don't need to restrict and all of that, which has been kind of eye-opening for me. And again, I love Joe, but he's definitely that person where it's just like, oh, we can't have this in the house or I'll just eat it. Da, 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 da. And it's like, no, you can eat it. Just acknowledge the amount you're eating. Like,
I love that. I hope he listens to this once it's public. He's going to have to listen to it. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely some competing demands in the house, which is can be difficult for sure.
Yeah.
Hopefully he listens to this and can be more accepting to be like, yeah, okay, we can have some things in the house. That's totally fine. So how many calories are you eating on a day-to-day basis?
So I was kind of all over the board and I listened to your podcast with Deanna recently.
Oh, that was a great one.
Yeah, really love that one. And I kind of had this like, oh my God moment where I was like doing the math for my calories. And I, of course, was at the like absolute lowest end, which is 1700 calories for me currently.
Okay.
And as I did the math for like my goal weight is around like 175, I think is what I was doing the math for. And not even that that's like a number that I care about. It was just a number. And I think I must have been doing it times 10.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, so, that's the only thing that makes sense. Low. Yeah. So, and then I you even said to her, I think you were like, it needs to be times 12. What are you doing? Like, so I was like, okay, well, I've been, no wonder why I've been hungry because I've been eating 1750 or 1700 calories.
Yep.
And I'm not like sticking to that. Like, don't get me wrong. Like if it's 1800, it's like, okay, no big deal.
Good.
But I definitely recalculated. And even if I'm shooting for 175 times 12, that's 2100 calories.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I mean, That's nuts. That's just so crazy to me. But yeah, I mean, that's what I should be hitting as and that's a deficit, which is crazy.
It's so funny. I love this conversation because this is the conversation I have all the time with people. Like, hold on. You're telling me that I can eat this many calories and still lose weight? And I'm like, yeah. Like, and they never believe me. They never, ever, they're like, no, that's too many. And they'll say something to the effect of like, well, I've been eating like, I've only been able to lose weight when I eat like 12 or 13 or 1400 calories. Like, this isn't going to work. And I'm like, no. Because what happens is you starve yourself. You go on a super restrictive diet, 1200, 1300, 1400, whatever it is. And then eventually you end up being so hungry and it's so unsustainable that you end up eating way, way, way more. And then you gain a few pounds back and then you're like, oh shoot, I got to get back on the train. Then you just repeat the cycle of starving yourself and then binging and starving and binging. It's like, if you just stuck to a more sustainable deficit from the very beginning, then you would have lost weight slowly and sustainably. So this sounds like you said 2100 makes sense to me. And it sounds like you can actually really enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And again, like, It makes so much more sense now listening to your content. And I mean, I've binged your podcast, I've binged your YouTube videos, and they get me through my workouts, to be honest. And lifting, I love being strong. And it makes more sense now that like, I am getting stronger. I need more fuel. Like,
yes,
it goes hand in hand.
Oh my God. It's so funny. My fiance always laughs after I have like a really like big workout. Like I did deadlifts the other day. Every time I deadlift, I am ravenous. And I always wake up in the middle of the night because I'm so hungry after a big lift. No joke. And every time after I deadlift that night, I will go in the kitchen and eat around 2 a.m. because I'm so hungry. And I just plan for that. Like, I know this is going to happen. So I plan ahead for it.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's so interesting how I've seen in the last year getting stronger, how like I definitely am hungrier on like big lift days.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So it's going to be somewhere between like 2000 to 2200 calories is your range, you think?
Yeah. I think that's more than reasonable. I've definitely been too low the entire month of January, and then when I tracked, and then I was kind of like totally inconsistent recently. But I've been logging on Lose It, like the Lose It app.
Oh yeah, that's a great
my
app,
fitness
yeah.
pal is my fitness pal. I found out was like garbage, but Lose It's been great. And that one is it actually also calculated me for like around 1750, and I think that's just been too low.
Got it. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And you know, a lot of calculators, what they'll do is they'll make it low on purpose. I don't even think it's just a lack of knowledge. I think they do it deliberately because they'll give you a lower number knowing that you'll lose weight faster, and then you'll really like their app. It's like, fast. Like, this must be a great app. They know what they're talking about. It's sort of like how treadmills will tell you you've burned way more calories than you
actually have. A trillion calories.
Because you're like, oh, wow, like I like this machine. It tells me I've burned more. It's like, it's the same type of psychology. So I really like the between 2000 and 2200. And I think what'll happen is as you do that consistently, you'll notice there are some days, probably your heavy lifting days, where you will use all 2200, and then maybe on some rest days or where you're really busy or whatever it is, like you might not even make it to 2000 because you're not hungry, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. And I think like kind of the eye-opening math of doing like a weekly calorie budget too was pretty interesting because it allows for like, God forbid we go out to eat or whatever like that. And I'm the opposite. I know that you've done a lot of podcasts with, I listen to a lot of people that are like perfectionists and they worry about going out. Like, I'm the opposite. I love freaking eating out and just eating. And like, I am just all about the cheats and, you know, just eating everything that I can. And I, so not that I would like be able to really track those days, but then to keep in mind of like the weekly calorie total and like, okay, like I'm still on a deficit or I'm still reasonably, you know, within my window or whatever.
Okay. Perfect. So having this laid out and having that calorie range, do you feel confident in your ability to be able to incorporate some type of a sweet after dinner while still hitting your calories?
Yeah. I mean, like I, using the app and logging my food, I think, has always been, you know, been the way that I can incorporate that kind of stuff and stay within the calories. This calorie window certainly, you know, gives additional, you know, calories for dessert and all that kind of thing. I've always been, I think one of my biggest issues has been being too lenient, where I will, if I'm given this, like, I will, of course, include dessert. Like, I just need to remind myself that I don't have to have it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I love that. Here's what I think. I think that a lot of times, and I don't know if this is you or not, so tell me if this is, if you relate to this or not. Either way is fine. But I think a lot of times what will happen is if you put your calories too low, or even if you don't put your calories too low, but you make it a bad thing to have a dessert, like you make it like off limits, mm-hmm. as though it's, you shouldn't be doing it. Well, then you want to do it more, right?
Yeah.
As soon as you're like, oh, I can't have dessert. Well, it's like, okay, but now I really want dessert. As soon as something is off limits, it's you want to do it. For me, I've never done it, but I've always wanted to pull the fire alarm. I've always, you just walk by it. You know, you're not supposed to unless like there's an emergency, but I just always want to rip that sucker because I'm not supposed to. Same thing with food and desserts. It's like if you make it off limits, it's one of the reasons why something like the keto diet is so unsustainable, because as soon as you start, it's like, well, you're not allowed to have any of this. It's like, well, how long do you think that's going to be able to last? Like, how long do you really think you're not going to be able to have carbs? And this is one of the reasons why people who do it really struggle, because as soon as they have a carb, they're like, oh, I screwed up. Then they eat tons and tons of carbs, gain a lot of water weight, think they screwed up, and then they have this terrible relationship with food. And for a, hopefully not the rest of their life, but I know many people for a huge portion of their life forever think that they can't eat carbs anymore. But then when they do, they feel terribly guilty about it. It's just a really bad relationship. So
yeah.
I think the key here is, if you have enough calories, which you do, then there is literally nothing wrong with you eating dessert. It is always okay for you to do that. I think the more that you internalize that it's okay to do, then the less of an urge you'll have to do it. And if you decide to have it, great. And if you decide not to have it, also great.
I think it's funny that you say that about like the, you know, carb people and all of that, because it's going to sound horribly passive aggressive of me, but that's another reason why I like to have sweets. Like even just if they're in the house, or if we go and get ice cream or whatever, I like to have it on hand just to know that I can. Like, not that I need to, but to know that it's there if I want it. And I think that that kind of takes some of the power away, because again, Joe is that person where it's like, oh, if it's in the house, like it can't be in the house. And it's like, no, you have to take the power away. The food doesn't have the power over you. It's if you want it or not. Like, does it fit into your calories? Does it fit in your goals? Like, then go enjoy it. Like, enjoy yourself. It's not gonna kill you. And being in the job that I'm in currently, like I have had so many people, Jordan, reach out about custom desserts for their dietary like preferences. And I hate it. I hate it so much. Don't get me wrong. If they have an allergy or whatever, it's fine. But like, no, I'm not about to make you like a keto cheesecake. Like, get out of here. Enjoy a real cheap piece of cheesecake.
I love that. Yeah. It's like, I've always struggled with like the, well, this tastes like ice cream. It's like, no, it doesn't.
Don't get me started. It is so, it's such a pet peeve of mine.
This tastes like brownies. It's like, no, it doesn't.
No, it tastes like cardboard. Like, just enjoy it. Enjoy the goodness. Enjoy, like, acknowledge the 200 or 300 calories. Or if you're going to go for it, enjoy the 1,000-calorie pint of Ben & Jerry's and acknowledge it and move on. Like,
I agree. I've always, and I see both sides of the coin, right? Like, for example, if I'm trying to get very lean for a jiu-jitsu competition or a weigh-in, and I really want a lot of something sweet, then sure, I'll get an entire pint of Halo Top because it's way fewer calories. But number one, that doesn't taste like real ice cream. Let's just be honest. That does not taste like real ice cream. It's just like, it's something sweet and I can fill up on it for fewer calories. But I also think there's something to be said for, not when you're trying to get super, super lean, not when you have a competition, but in everyday life, I think there's a lot to be said for, do you, I don't care if it's a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's or a whole pint of Halo Top. I think they're, the learning to have something in an appropriate portion is a really good skill. It's of like, course. I think it's probably better to be able to have a quarter or a half of Ben and Jerry's than needing to eat the whole thing. And same thing with Halo Top. I think a lot of people who struggle with binge eating convince themselves that they're not actually binge eating just because they're eating an entire pint of something that's fewer calories. It's yeah. like that is it's you're still eating a tremendous amount of something, and it's something to be aware of. Just to be like, listen, like if you can get to a point where you can have the same number of calories in a Ben and Jerry's, like I think that might be a better long-term strategy than just always having the fake lower calorie option. And again, sometimes I have those options, but yeah. you have to be aware of why you're having it and how often you're having it.
Yeah. And I think that just goes back to, you know, taking the power away from the food and mm-hmm. acknowledge, you know, and having it in your house, acknowledging it. And if you want to have a spoonful or, you know, measure out an ounce or two of it, and then enjoy that, log it, and move on. And then you can still have it the next day. It's still there.
Agreed.
I don't know. I
agree. Yeah,
it's just it comes down to goals and the, you know, the calories that you're allotted and all of that kind of thing. But you know, the relationship with food is something that, again, I love food, and I think I need to work on maybe not loving it so much.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with loving it. And I think it's probably the reason why you're in the career that you've chosen is because mm-hmm. you're very passionate about food. You love it. So going forward, there are some people in this situation who I might say something like, hey, how about we pick some days throughout the week in which you choose like, hey, I'll have desserts on this night and not, I won't have desserts on these nights. For you, I don't think that's the best option, just to be candid. It might okay. be worth trying if you want. At this point in the discussion, knowing what I know about you, I feel like there's no reason to make it off limits on any night. I think you're at a point, and you tell me if you disagree, and that's totally fine if you do. I think you're at a point in which you're able to really listen to your body and say like, listen, I have the extra calories. I'm going to have like a slice of strawberry shortcake, whatever it is. I really want strawberry shortcake right now that it just came out of my mouth. But like, I'll have a little slice of this and then I'm good. Or being like, you know what? I don't need it. Like, yeah, sure. Like, listen, dessert would be great all the time. Like, there's never a time that I'd be like, you know, I don't want dessert. Of course, it would always be great. But I think what would be a really good practice for you would be after dinner, just asking yourself, will I be happy after I make this decision? And mm-hmm. if you can be honest and objective and say, you know what, after I'm going to be very happy after I have this dessert, then great, go for it. But if you're like, you know what, obviously it would be great to have in my mouth, but after I make this choice, I'm not going to feel good about it. So tonight I won't have dessert. I think that would be a better conscious practice for you than making like days where it's okay and days where it's not okay. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I like that approach. I think that that's a good idea. And I do notice that there are some days where I notice earlier on in the day that I'm like, okay, I really want to have this tonight. Like, especially if I do like a new recipe at the bakery or whatever. And I save myself a piece. And I'll save it for after dinner. Like that's like our wind down time at the end of the day.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. And then like, I'll acknowledge it and I'll save it for the end of the day. And cause like, that's when I want to enjoy it. But then there are other days where it's just like stupid stress or whatever. And I haven't like planned for anything. And I find myself going in and looking for stuff to pick at. And those are the days where I think that, you know, that's a good point. I need to be like more mindful of those days where I'm like, okay, I just need to go like brush my teeth and shower and go to bed. I don't need to go and pick. Like I'm stressed out. I'm overwhelmed, whatever. Let's call it a day.
I love that. And there are many ways to do this. One that might be helpful is just having a notebook that is just mm-hmm. solely dedicated to just like writing about like what you're going to choose to do in that situation. So if you're at the bakery during the day and like you have something that you want to try and you push that aside, great. Then maybe you just journal that night and be like, made this fucking delicious thing earlier today. I'm gonna eat it tonight and love it. And then if you didn't do that earlier in the day and like you take some time to think about what you're gonna do, just be like, you know what, sitting down, had a great dinner with Joe. I'm gonna just go to bed. I'm gonna go brush my teeth and go to bed, and I'm very happy with that decision. Having like, it doesn't have to be a 45 minute journaling session. Yeah. It could just be like a quick 1 minute, hey, here's what I'm gonna do right now. Sometimes just putting those thoughts on paper and getting them out can be enough to be like, you know what, I'm very happy with this decision. This is what I'm going to go with today.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
Perfect. I think that we made a pretty good recipe to follow. Like, this is the what you're going to do on a day-to-day basis. You have your calorie range. You have the timing throughout the day with which you're going to stick to for your meals. How do you feel about all this?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I don't want to take up too much of your time, so tell me just to stop. But I did want to touch on like movement and workouts, if you had a second.
Absolutely, of course. Are you good with the nutrition side of it? Like, did we cover everything you want?
No, yeah, it's perfect. And I think with it's staying within my calories and all of that. And do you think the times one or the times like 0.7 or 0.8 would be good for protein?
I think anywhere in the range of between 0.7 to 1.
Okay.
Anywhere in that range is great.
Okay, perfect. Times 175. Okay. Yeah, because 175 grams of protein was a little high. I've been struggling getting like 160. So usually around 140 is where I fall.
140, totally fine.
Okay, great. But as far as the workouts and like movement, I pulled the trigger and got like a little walking pad. Because I hate doing cardio or like walking at the gym. I think it's like a waste of time. like I don't want to, if I could be in my own home with my dogs and like be at home, and like throw like a little laundry in and then go jump on the walking pad, I'd rather do that than be at the gym, like staring at random people.
Yep,
so, and then once we move, we're going to eventually slowly create our own gym at the new house. So we'll be able to just work out at home. We're going to get one of like those, the Rogue racks or whatever for the garage.
Those are awesome. Those are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to, I mean, that's like probably next year goal. But as far as workouts, do you think that like 8,000 to 12,000 steps a day is reasonable? Is that every day or should that be like 5 to 6 days a week?
Yeah, I would say that range is phenomenal. It's a great range. And it's funny, like, the more research I do around just health, right, just not even necessarily weight loss, just health, the more I'm convinced that walking is just so, so important. You look mm-hmm. at the longest living, healthiest societies, and they're people who walk a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a great range. I would say try and do it as often as possible. I wouldn't stress out if you miss a day, but like definitely make it a practice and a habit to get those steps in as often as you can.
Okay. And then as far as workouts, I can commit currently to getting to the gym 3 days a week. And I have to be honest, I was having a really hard time doing the like upper body, lower body. So I switched to full body.
Okay.
I've been having a little bit easier time doing full body, but I feel like I fluctuate with that. I feel like I go back and forth and I'm like, oh, I'm really looking forward to doing legs today. And then like I do legs and then I like despise going to do shoulders or going to do chest or whatever. and it could be opposite the next week. It's so stupid. I'm all over the board with that. So do I just need to like pick an icy workout and just like fucking do it?
Yeah. That's really what it is. And for whatever it's worth, it's funny. So I am obsessed. We love the things we're good at and hate the things we're not good at, right? I am obsessed with deadlift days because, shocker, that's my best lift, and I just love deadlifts. I think many people can probably relate to that. I've never been excited about upper body days, ever. It's never been something where I'm like, oh, sick, biceps, rows, cool. Like, I've just never loved it. Some people love upper body workouts. Susan, her favorite is the upper body workouts, and she loves shoulders. Shocker, her shoulders are better than anyone I've ever seen ever. Susan has the best shoulders literally ever. Every time I do an Inner Circle Live, people are like, how do I get shoulders like Susan? How do I get shoulders like Susan? Like, I think it makes sense that Susan's favorite workouts are upper body, and she hates the lower body workouts. She absolutely despises them. Now, I think there's something to be said for finding the workouts that you love, obviously, but you got to just pick a program and do it. And usually what I've found is the more you do it and the more consistent you are, the more progress you're going to make, and the more progress you make, the more you're going to like it. And this is with everything, like everything in life. I even see it with jiu-jitsu, for example. Like in jiu-jitsu, from when I started, I was relatively good when I was on top because of my wrestling background. Wrestling is a very top dominant grappling sport. But when I was on my back in jiu-jitsu, which in jiu-jitsu is a very advantageous position, like you can fight off of your back and be very good from it, I hated being on my back. So any times we were drilling from the top, I loved it. I loved those days. But any times we were drilling from the bottom, I hated it because I sucked. But the more I did it and the more I went, the better I got, and the more I started to love and enjoy it. I think this is the same thing for any workout, any skill. Literally, if you suck at it, you're not gonna like it very much. Yeah. But the most important thing is that you stick with it and stay consistent. So I would pick a workout, and when you start it, you decide on day one, you're gonna see it through. And it doesn't, like for me, I notice that I push myself way harder on deadlift days because I love deadlifts, and on upper body days, I'm more like, all right. Like I'm here to get through it. I'm not here to be an upper body specialist. I'm not trying to be on the cover of Men's Health. I'm not trying to set a bench press world record. I'm going to get through it, and I'm going to get better, and I'm going to aim to improve, but I'm not here to kill myself. And like it, that has to be okay. Like not every workout is going to be a world record workout. And even if you don't love it, at least you got through it.
Yeah. And I definitely think even like the more general motivator for me is I love leg days. Obviously, I'm like super, super powerful in my lower body and my legs. My quads have always been ginormous from like 10 years of volleyball and everything else. I would just have ginormous thighs, and I've accepted that. But like even upper body this past year, starting to see muscle, like true muscle, striation, I guess is the right word, on my shoulders is so motivating. And like it's not super attractive to have ginormous traps as a chick, but like I look like a rugby player basically. And
I love that. That's amazing.
It's like it's nice, like each time you go and you like, okay, like I love wearing a tank top on arm days. Like if I'm gonna go and do an arm day, I'm gonna go and do an arm day. And I'm gonna like I always feel like pumped afterwards when I get through it. And that's always what keeps you going, you know, just keeps you going back and seeing the progress is definitely, it's that whole willful suffering that you like to talk about. And you're not going to be motivated all the time, but you've got to keep going and start seeing the wheel the wheel spinning to continue with the motivation, if that makes any sense. I just
Absolutely.
Totally.
No, it makes total sense. You said it perfectly. And I see this all the time. One thing I see very commonly with women is one of the most common goals I see among women in strength training is they want to get a chin up. Like they want to get first chin up. It's a huge goal. And for the majority, for almost the entire time until they get their first chin up, they hate it. It's not, they're not motivated. It's like, they feel like they're never going to get it. They feel like because they're hanging from the bar and they can't move. But as soon as they get their first like inch that like, oh my God, my elbows just moved, like now they're motivated and then they start to like it. But then there's another plateau. They get halfway up, but they just can't break it for maybe 6 months, whatever it is. And then boom, they get another inch and then they're over that hump. It's when you are not good at something or not where you want to be, or you're comparing yourself to someone else who's done it for much longer, for whatever reason, they're just better at it than you because that's life. Sometimes people are better at you than certain things. It can be very demoralizing, mm-hmm. but the more that you do it and the more consistent you are, the more progress you're going to make. It's been incredible, especially because the majority of people I work with are women. And when they get their first chin up or when they first deadlift 135 or 225, or I mean, you're doing 315, it's insane. Like the motivation that comes from that is unbelievable.
Yeah. And that's just it, is when I hit those days, it's like, I can't wait to get back into the gym for my next workout. And it's just that snowball effect of having, and don't get me wrong, you're going to have shitty days. You're going to have, you know, bad lift days. And at that point you just gotta, it's just that, okay, but this is my plan. I'm still going to go to the gym on Wednesday and I'm still going to show up and do the best that I can. And maybe it's going to be an awesome workout. You know, you just never know unless you show up and show up for yourself.
I agree completely. I love that. It was funny. Right before we hopped on the call, I was downstairs doing a workout in my building's gym, and there's always this guy there. We always tend to work out at the same time. He's an older guy, probably mid 50s, and it's funny. From the first time I saw, you know, like you're obsessed with fitness when you look at what someone else is doing in the gym and you know not only what program they're following, but who wrote the program and like what book it's in. Like, and I knew exactly what program he was following immediately as soon as I saw him. And we just like started talking and chatting, and we become very friendly in the gym. And today I was asking him how his workout was going. He was like, he's got a strong Southern accent, like a really nice guy. He's like, man, you know, I'm just at a point where my linear gains have stopped, and I've really got to be okay with just not putting more weight on the bar every time I come to the gym. And I was like, I get it. He's like, you know, it's tough because I want to keep putting more weight on, but sometimes I just got to get comfortable here in this plateau and know that that is progress. And I was like, man, you know what you're talking about. That's exactly right. It's like, yeah, you're going to get stuck. You're not going to go up or get stronger every day or every week or every month. You just got to get comfortable with it and know that as you continue to go, you're going, that is progress in and of itself.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of my biggest hurdles is even during those lulls of not losing weight or you having a couple of crappy times at the gym and not every workout is an amazing, astounding workout, still showing up is progress in and of itself, and still doing the work. You're you know, in the long run, whether it's a couple of weeks or a couple of months, you're still going to see progress.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's awesome. Kelsey, do you feel happy with how this call has gone? Like, do you feel confident moving forward?
Yeah, this is fantastic. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I feel like all of the knowledge and the information that I've gathered from you over the past year plus has kind of come together with this call. I really appreciate your time.
Well, before we finish, number one, I know that you're in the process of building your own business and your own, like, do you want to share your social media just in case people would like to follow you for your own business?
That would be fantastic. I would so appreciate that. My business name on Instagram and my business name in general, it's Bottom Line Bakery. It's a nod to my grandfather. He was NYPD and he always used to say, like, that's it, end of case, bottom line. So Bottom Line Bakery is the Instagram handle. And I've got a website, bottomlinebakery.com. It's like just mostly cakes and desserts right now. But once we launch the food trailer, it'll be a lot more savory food and things like that on there. And if anyone is interested in binging Chop Sweets, I have an episode on Amazon Prime.
Okay, what episode is it?
It is Chop Sweets episode season 1, episode 7, Million Dollar Dessert.
I love that. Okay, perfect. So that's number one, Bottom Line Bakery. I'm probably going to order something later today just to surprise my awesome. Fiance. Please keep me posted with how everything is going. Like, I want to, like, if you can post in the Inner Circle Facebook group, but I'd love to just hear and, like, please keep me updated because I'd really like to hear how things progress.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jordan. I definitely will. I'll do an accountability thread in the IC Facebook group.
Amazing. Awesome. Kelsey, thank you so much. Give Joe my best, and I will talk to you very soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, Jordan. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. And if you'd like to join the Inner Circle, you can do that right now at www.sfinnercircle.com or at the link in the show notes. Have a wonderful day.